The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Tonight with the crew in the same studio 8 years ago, and I just want to salute everybody. It is the victory. Who knows what they're going to pull now, but Trump has won. It's already being announced. This is a day long remembered. Come in here, crew. I love you. You have put up with so much. You've gone through so much. Owen went to prison, and they're going to come after us again. But you know what? They know we're not intimidated. They know we're going to keep fighting.
Second time around is going to be
God bless you all. Anybody else seen it anywhere, this delicious apple juice? I love you guys. Oh, yes, let me give the lady here some of this here. All right. Sorry, I was dumbfounded, godsmacked here. Here is to all the listeners and viewers that kept us in attack formation. Here's the President Trump, our champion, his incredible stalwart will, his family standing with him. Here's to God, of course, number one. And, of course, we are now going to go after the child traffickers and find out where the children are. We're going to take the floor out of the water. We're going to go after the poison vaccines. We're going to stop World War III if God is with us. All praise goes to God, but God works through the people. And so for myself and the whole crew, on the eve of our shutdown next week, we will never surrender in the face of tyranny. We know more obstacles are coming. We know the real fight starts in the 76 days while he's president-elect. We pray for President Trump, but now we take a moment to celebrate that we stood against the tyrants and have won a major strategic, historic battle against the globalists, and this is just the beginning. They declared war on us, and we accepted the challenge. Yes, I love you all. It's been a war. And the war continues. I love you, Owen. I love all of you. Incredible job. And we only got two microphones here, but I would like to maybe have folks come up to the microphone in the other studio so everybody can get on air. But this is just crazy. Owen, get in here, and then Harrison, broadcast them. Give us your views right here.
I think my lav mic might still be on.
It's okay. Sit down right here.
It's over in Pennsylvania. It's over. The numbers are in. They can't come back. It's officially 270. Trump might wait until they officially declare it, but it's done. We did it. Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona might go for Trump too. So it's a little bit of a light landslide. Looks like Republicans are going to get at least plus three in the Senate, at least plus four in the House. We have new leadership at both the Senate and the House level that are serious. They're behind Trump. We have Elon Musk on our team. We've got Vivek Ramaswamy changing the message for the future. We have J.D. Vance, who's about as down to earth as it gets. We have RFK Jr., who wants to take the fluoride out of the water, the microplastics out of the food. I don't know. I'm almost in like suspension right now. I can't even believe that everything we've worked for, everything we've envisioned, all the common sense barriers for us to take down to release the American potential, the potential of the American citizen. I hope, I really mean this, I hope to all the brainwashed, deranged leftists that are suffering tonight that this will be your last moment of suffering. I hope that they will join us in this victory. This is a victory for you too. We are freeing you. We are freeing your minds. We are freeing your bodies. We are freeing your souls. Join our team. We are raising the tides. We are raising all the ships. And just join the team. Even if you hate Donald Trump and you can't stand the side of him, join Team Humanity, join Team Common Sense, join Team America. This could be the American Revolution 2.0. When America was founded, it changed the entire course of human history. We're doing it again tonight.
We're taking our country back!
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
That's it. Anybody else?
Get in there.
Come on in.
Rex Jones.
No, I'm all right.
All right.
Cheers.
Anybody else want to
Rob, do you want to scream? You want to let a...
I'm just going to say this. I agree with your message. You know, with putting a hand out to these people who are under some serious mind control, there's a mind control going on in this country, and it's ending now. And people are going to see how much better their lives are going to be. Because a lot of these leftists are into health. All right, they're into, and now when that RFK is coming out and he's going to be hardcore on what's in our food and getting that stuff, that's where it's going to happen. That's where these people are going to go, wait a minute, maybe I was on the wrong side. Maybe I didn't know what was going on. And if they catch more of this cheating that they're doing, and we got to get rid of these goddamn election machines. They suck.
Mail-in ballots.
They just suck.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This thing where it takes 14. 14-
Many of the supplements available at thealexjonesstore.com are the latest cutting edge, highest rated game changers that have been discovered through research. And that's wonderful. But many of the products there are known, tried and true staples like elderberry. It's just that ours is high quality, very strong, concentrated, and at a competitive price. Especially if you get more than one bottle, then it's some of the best prices you'll find anywhere. And your purchase funds our operations against the globalist, a 360 win. So get your concentrated elderberry, particularly right now in the fall and winter, and you take it as a preventative ahead of time. And what the wives' tales said hundreds of years ago, now with modern science we know, it boosts your immune system. It's antiviral. So now, high-quality ultimate elderberry, scientific name, Sambucus, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's good for your body, and it funds the InfoWar.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
Well, I've been following this guy for years. Dave Smith's a super popular comedian, one of the most frequent guests on the Joe Rogan Experience, at Comic Dave Smith on X, comicdavesmith.com. He's a comedian, political commentator, radio and TV personality. Dave's a regular guest, obviously, on Joe Rogan and many other shows, Tim Pool and many others. In 2017, Dave's debut comedy special, Libertas, was released and spent over 3 weeks number one on iTunes comedy chart. Dave is the host of Part of the Problem, a libertarian podcast about current events and the evils of government and the corporate media. And the word is, he was just telling me, Ron Paul, who's behind Trump now and behind Musk, is going to be doing a show with Elon Musk down in his studios in Houston. So a lot of exciting stuff. And boy, we need Trump quickly. Illegal surge U.S. border ahead of Trump inauguration. He'll close borders with extreme security. Yeah, we're going to find the human traffickers that Mayorkas allowed to have the children. I've confirmed that. Trump is setting up a task force, and at the tip of it will be deporting the smugglers and the crime gangs from Venezuela, MS-13, El Salvador, sending them back down there to Bukele so they can get put in the slammer, and going after the NGOs that were involved in the human trafficking, modern slavery. Dave Smith, great to have you here, brother.
Dude, thank you so much for having me, Alex. And like, you know, I was a hardcore Ron Paul guy back in his presidential elections, and I used to, you were the only one who would give him long form interviews back in the day, man. So it's cool to be here.
And boy, is this not, they're talking about abolishing the private Federal Reserve, getting rid of the FDA. And I'm going to tell you, they tried to kill Trump. He's super informed now after 9 years of battles. This is going to be insane.
It's really something to watch. And, you know, we'll see. What, obviously, as you know, as well as anyone, and don't get me wrong, because this is a time for celebration, and I never want to step on anybody's optimism, but the battle is just starting, and it's going to be, this is going to be a battle. And even though he's got better people around him, I think, than he's ever had before. As you know, when you're going up against those three-letter agencies, they're going to be doing everything they can to remove all the good people in his cabinet, get him to put bad people in his cabinet. And so it's going to be a real challenge. And hopefully he stays away from the Mike Pompeos of the world. He stays away from Liz Cheney's pick for defense secretary. And I'm optimistic that he's got, I think J.D. Vance has some good instincts on foreign policy. I think that Vivek Ramaswamy and Bobby Kennedy and Tucker Carlson and a lot of these people around him are really good on the issues that really matter. And to your point, I mean, on illegal immigration, you know, they like to use the word mandate. I've never seen a mandate on an issue greater than this one right now, where Donald Trump at the center of his campaign in 2016 was, we need to build a wall. We need to control illegal immigration. He was demonized in the most outlandish way for this position. And now essentially everybody has come around to admit that, yeah, this is an absolute crisis and we need to be able to control the floods of people coming into our country. So, man, if we can't get something done about that issue now, then this is the last chance.
Well, the game changer has been Trump and how stalwart and dauntless he's been. And then Elon Musk is, use a cheesy analogy, like the first episode of Star Wars, where at the end, the Millennium Falcon, you know, knocks Darth Vader out so Luke Skywalker can blow up the Death Star. I mean, Elon Musk is literally the Millennium Falcon knocking out Darth Vader there so Luke Skywalker can blow up the Death Star. And, I mean, just on X, and this is how popular freedom is, everybody was having similar things happen. We had close to 400 million people watch the clips just Tuesday night through Wednesday morning. I looked it up this morning. I stopped counting. It was up to like 380 million. We have at least it's more than that. We had like five videos with over 50, 60 million. So right there. And then just dozens of videos with 20, 30. When I say, folks, that quick, it's probably we got to, somebody's got to count it up. I bet it's 800 million. And I mean, and we have the impressions on the site. We know the numbers here. Tens of millions watched on our streams. It's insane. I mean, that is an indicator of how popular freedom is.
And look, I mean, the truth is that Elon Musk buying Twitter was even more important than Donald Trump winning this election, and partially because one allowed the other. You know, as your show is called InfoWars for a reason, right? The whole game has always been this battle of narrative control, the propaganda of the regime versus the people who are able to kind of break that propaganda and show people how cartoonishly false it all is. And man, him getting Twitter, it's like, I think you've been saying this for a long time, but as long as we have freedom of speech in a meaningful way, as long as we can get our message out, the regime loses. Because truth, there's an unbelievable power that truth has. It's just more powerful than lies. And Elon Musk making Twitter a free speech platform, or at least a much closer to a free speech platform than it ever was before. You've seen the ripple effects of tech censorship kind of being defeated.
Ripple effects like a hydrogen bomb going off.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, even obviously there's still a lot of shady stuff that goes on. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure you saw Elon was posting stuff about Google and what they were doing during the election. There was this Trump win was even with all those shenanigans. You know what I mean? Like, but as long as we keep Twitter and there's at least this one place where people can have dissenting points of view, I'm very optimistic about the future.
We just had a beachhead with Trump. We expanded the beachhead with Musk, and now we've turned the tide. We have explosive initiative, to use military terms. We're pressing through the objective. This is devastating. We have a real chance to roll up the whole globalist BlackRock kleptocratic system. And we're not offering some utopia, but it won't be globalists trying to make us poor, trying to divide us, trying to create racial division for control, trying to make us poor so they can dictate a global social credit score. I mean, we're promoting freedom and good societies versus the real dystopia that has been proposed and being pushed by the WEF crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Donald Trump did some very good things in his first term. He also made a lot of mistakes in his first term.
Terrible.
And I'm really hoping that he's learned from some of that. And particularly what really encourages me is that, first of all the people around him who I was just naming, like this kind of new core group of Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson and J.D. Vance and Vivek Ramaswamy, and all, they're all good on Ukraine. They all want to end that war. Every one of them. And this war, as you know, very easily could be negotiated to a peace. I mean, there's just no reason to have this.
Putin said up front for years, I'm going to invade and take a third of the country as a buffer zone if you continue to try to overthrow it and join NATO. And he could have already taken the whole country, and he's completely on record what he wants.
Yeah, look, the head of NATO, whose name I always butcher,
Stoltenberg,
he said that Vladimir Putin said, if you just put in writing that you won't bring Ukraine into NATO, I won't invade. And he bragged about how they refused. And then Trump, then he invaded, and now hundreds of thousands of people have died. And of course, it's been widely reported that there was a peace deal in the works very early in the war, that Boris Johnson went and as an agent of the West to make sure that Zelensky didn't negotiate with Putin. So all you got to do is negotiate that one away, end that war. What I'm a little bit more concerned about is the war in Gaza right now. I think a lot of people around Trump are not good on that. And I think that our message right now should just be very clear that Donald Trump, you have a mandate right now. And the mandate is control illegal immigration, turn this economy down, grapple with inflation, and end the wars. The American people don't want to do this anymore. We've had 20 plus years of disastrous, catastrophic terror wars that were all based on lies, had nothing to do with the people who attacked us on 9/11. None of it was going after the Sunni radical We went after secular dictators and regime change wars in countries that had nothing to do with 9/11. And so anyway, at this point, we don't need to have this relationship with Israel. We don't need to fund and arm their slaughter of the Palestinians. And I think if we can get that message through to Donald Trump and he puts the right people in his cabinet, look, if he could just control illegal immigration, end the war in Ukraine, end our support for Israel's slaughter of Palestine, and turn the economy around, put him on Mount Rushmore.
I totally agree. And look, Netanyahu has an 18% approval rating. He uses parliamentary manipulation to stay in power, just like Trudeau, just like Macron. They all got less than 20 points in the last election. Mm-hmm. They're not popular, and the average Israeli doesn't want these wars either. And I get Hezbollah and Hamas have done a lot of horrible stuff, too. I don't like them. My issue is, like what Ron Paul has said for 50 years and what, you know, his son's been saying for decades, just don't give them any money. Hey, do what you want. We're not part of it.
That's right. And of course, it's just like it's the same as the economic principle, right? When you bail out big banks or when you bail out big corporations, it creates a moral hazard. Now they can be more reckless because they know they can rely on the bailout. And in the same way, we have this same dynamic with our foreign policy. If we give Israel a blank check and unconditional support, then of course they're going to be more aggressive than they otherwise would be.
Yeah, because if they get in a full war with Iran, they know we're going to join them.
It's like if you were to go to a bar and then you had like Mike Tyson and he goes, hey, if anyone messes with you, I'm going to beat the crap out of them. Then, OK, you're going to be a little bit more aggressive at that bar than you would be if you just had to fight the fight on your own. And so it's the same thing. And of course, as you said, Hezbollah and Hamas, they've committed atrocities. Nobody's on their side. But Israel has also committed a lot of atrocities, and they're doing it with our money and our weapons and our logistical intelligence
and
support.
And it's all on TV, so it's demonized. It's hurting us. And I'm sad for the innocents that are dying as well. But, I mean, come on, people. This is bad. And then, I mean, I saw Mossad a few weeks ago put out videos of them with all these blown-up houses and women and children and the soldiers aiming heavy machine guns at them and laughing. And Israel's putting that out to enrage the Muslims and enrage people to try to get a bigger war. And that's what I said. I said, folks, do you see what Israel's doing there? I mean, that is being done literally to make this get worse.
Yeah. Well, look, two things I'll say real quick. Number one, to your point about how unpopular Netanyahu is, also keep in mind that after bending over backward to give him everything he wanted, I mean, things that previous presidents would, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the Abraham Accords, all the funding in the world, he turned around and threw Trump under the bus, stabbed him in the back.
Wouldn't even return his phone call.
Yes. And he congratulated Joe Biden well before the results were clear, if they ever were, of the 2020 election. He threw him under the bus while the election was being contested. Okay, so like that's number one. And number two, just look, keep in mind, Benjamin Netanyahu is the longest serving prime minister in the history of Israel. He was the prime minister on 9/11, and he came over here in 2002 and testified to our Congress and advocated that we overthrow Saddam Hussein. We have a regime change war in Iran. He advocated for overthrowing Muammar Gaddafi. He advocated for overthrowing Bashar al-Assad.
He lied about WMDs. Yes,
he's John McCain. He's not. If you're America first, if you're Donald Trump, well, then he's Liz Cheney. He's your enemy. He's not on the side of the America First movement. And right now, they're trying to get us into war with Iran, which would be an absolute catastrophe. It would be 10 times worse than the war in Iraq. So this is like priority number one. And of course, as you know too, you don't have to hate the Jews or hate Israel or anything like that. I'm Jewish, by the way. That's not what this is about. The point is that America does not need to be this empty war machine that has done nothing but hollow out this country. Haven't we learned?
No, exactly. And now NATO's pushed up to Russia's borders. Mm-hmm. China's and Russia are allied with Iran. This is World War III. It's got to stop.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, it's the old Einstein quote where he said, I don't know what weapons will be used in World War III, but World War IV will be sticks and rocks.
Yes.
It's not an option for us to go to war with Russia and China. This isn't as horrific as the world wars in the 20th century were, and they're the worst things that have ever happened in the history of the world.
They'll be mild compared to those.
That's right. We can't do it. Everybody's got too many H-bombs. We can't go to war with these countries. And also, my God, it's like the same thing you and Ron Paul and people have been saying for so many years. This is America. We have two giant oceans, the biggest, most powerful military in the history of the world, a huge stockpile of atomic weapons. And what do we have, 400, 500 million guns in this country? No one poses any threat to us. The only threat to the United States of America is D.C. And so enough with this foreign adventurism, peace and prosperity. Like Ron Paul always said, that's the direction we need to go.
Absolutely. And look, the Iranians have got their own issues, but They have been trying to roll over and trying to de-escalate, and they've had their asses kicked. But if you press into it, they've got stay-behind networks, they've got sleeper cells all over the place. And again, Russia and China have said, prepare for war. We're ready to go to war. This has to stop. It's insane.
And Trump is uniquely positioned to be able to do it. You know, it's like the old only Nixon could go to China type deal.
Exactly.
Where, you know, you kind of have to, obviously, a weak leftist isn't the one who's going to be able to bring peace because no one, you know what I mean? They see them as weak. But Donald Trump, look, for some of the mistakes he made in his first administration, I know you were one of the people who pointed it out, his bombing of Syria, his backing up the Saudis in their war against Yemen. He made a lot of very, very big mistakes. But the silver lining in that now is that he's got a credible threat of, like, not being a wimp. So he can come from a position of strength, and people will know he's not messing around and say that he's going to be the one who's ready to do this. And I'll tell you, all those people you were saying, all those foreign governments, China, Russia, Iran, they're all, while they might be ready for war, they're also all ready to make a deal. They'd also be happy to avoid the war. And Donald Trump is in a unique position where he can do that. So
that's right. And just to harp on Netanyahu, when he stabbed Trump in the back, Trump called for his help, wouldn't take the call, came out first to stab him in the back. Trump's, you know, got to remember that. And here's the thing about Netanyahu, okay? Again, he would already be removed from office. He stood down on October 7th. He said, well, we'll find out after the war why this happened. So he's cornered. We don't need World War III just so Benjamin Netanyahu can stay in power. I mean, it's he's got to be removed. I mean,
and like, come on, man, he was propping up Hamas for years. Like, look, October 7th was terrible. It was an atrocity. Innocent people dying anywhere at any time is horrible. It's the worst thing in the world. But if you like, if you're let's say, like, in Mexico, we were occupying Mexico since the 1960s, okay? And then there was, like, a secular government or a group that wanted to rise up and be the government and make a two-state deal, and we decided to fund the jihadists so that they wouldn't have to rise up and we wouldn't have to give them their statehood, and then those jihadists attacked us.
And by the way, that's admitted, just like the left's gotten caught creating fake militia groups and white supremacy groups so that they can demonize a populist movement here. It's the same thing. Israel admits they helped fund and create Hamas, this is AP Reuters, starting in the late 70s and the 80s, to literally not have a legitimate government to deal with. And then now they have set up a Hamas dictatorship, and they do enslave the people, and they are horrible. And Israel, the corrupt interest there, did that. And it's the same thing that other governments do, like the British stayed in control of India for hundreds of years by funding bad rebel groups, too. It's called divide and conquer.
Yeah, it's a very old strategy, and it still exists because it works. It's very effective. But in that scenario, then, sorry, cry me a river about turning to the rest of the world and saying we have to fund your war. You created this problem. You're the one who wanted to play this game. And just to your point, it's not even just the AP. I mean, it was on October 8th. There was a huge piece in the Times of Israel about it. There was a huge piece in Haaretz, New York Times. This is widely reported. Everybody admits that.
Seven and a half hour stand down in the most armed country in the world. And then off-duty soldiers had to drive from Tel Aviv down there to save people.
Yeah.
Total stand down.
Yeah.
From your research, what do you think happened there? Because first, Netanyahu blamed the military. And they said, no, you did it. And then he apologized.
Yeah. Well,
sounds like he ordered it.
Well, I mean, look, that, so I don't know. You know, if you remember there was that hot mic or like a secret recording of John Kerry when he was talking about the rise of ISIS in Syria. And he basically admitted the Obama administration, they wanted to overthrow Bashar al-Assad. So they started funding any anti-Assad groups. And they knew that the money and weapons were going to ISIS and al-Qaeda. And John Kerry says on this tape, he goes, we saw the rise of ISIS and we thought, oh, we could use them to put pressure on Bashar al-Assad to step down or they would overthrow him. But then he goes, but then they went invaded Iraq. And that wasn't supposed to be part of the plan, you know? And so sometimes I think these things do get away from them and they don't know. That being said, there was intelligence that they were planning this attack. There were people who were warning the Israelis in their own intelligence community that they were training for it. No one did anything about that. And it is, listen, it's very hard to understand, as you said, how you have Gaza, which is the most surveilled area in the world. You have Israel, which is the fortress of the world. How does it take so many hours to have a response? I mean, you're talking about, you know, New Jersey. This is not like a huge landmass. And You know, that's about as much as I know, but it certainly is enough to say that warrants an investigation.
Well,
here's
an example. Exactly. Israel just proving some of the best intelligence in the world, wiped out all these Hezbollah and Hamas leaders in all these surrounding countries down to everywhere. I mean, basically never missed. And then magically didn't know anything this before. Give me a break.
And, you know, a lot of people, Max Blumenthal over at the Gray Zone, he's done some fantastic reporting on the Hannibal directive, or a version of that was used. But I remember the day after, like on October 8th, I remember seeing pictures of cars lined up and they're incinerated. And I'm no like military expert here, but I'm like, you're telling me they did that with rifles and hand grenades? Because that looks like a Hellfire missile to me. You know what I mean? And it does turn out that, yes, some degree of the death and destruction on October 7th was caused by the Israeli government. And I don't know exactly what percentage was what. But
friendly fire always happens.
Sure.
Then they tried to deny it, but later had to admit it. No, that's what happens in a war zone.
Yeah. Yes. Because war is hell. And you want to avoid them as best you can. And
the favorite general of the Civil War, Stonewall Jackson, got shot by his own troops.
Right. Right.
That just goes on.
Yeah, no, 100%. And look, the America, you know, of course, has always been, look, it's the United States of America has always been a tremendous force for good and a tremendous force for bad in the world. You know what I mean? Like, and the great things about this country have always been our liberty, our creativity, our culture, our art, our economic advancements, things like that.
You don't want to be known as World War III creators.
That's right. But this is what's done more to liberate the world. It was never any neoconservative or Wilsonian, we're going to set the world free with our military. We set the world free with our blue jeans and our rock and roll music.
Soft power.
Yes, exactly. And that's what America's supposed to be. Like Thomas Jefferson and Ron Paul always said, we're supposed to be a city on a hill. We have to work, you know. Think about the idea that Washington, D.C. is going to go around and solve a violence problem in the Middle East when they can't even solve the violence problem in Washington, D.C. It's absurd on its face. We can't even get liberty right here. We're not in a position to spread it throughout the world. Let's try to get it right here. And I will say, man, I really hope that Ron Paul is some type of advisor to Donald Trump, because if you really do want to drain the swamp, and I know this isn't the sexiest issue to talk about these days, but it's the stuff that the Tea Party was talking about, the stuff that Ron Paul was talking about. If you want to drain the swamp, what you need to do is have drastic cuts in government spending. That is the swamp.
That's the guaranteed way to do it.
As long as we have $6 trillion plus a year that's being extracted from the American people and handed out to people who are politically connected, that's the swamp. And this is why there's more millionaires in the suburbs outside of Washington, D.C. than anywhere else in the world.
The richest city in the world.
That's right. And it's not because there's great big factories there and they're making things and this is capitalism and they're providing more wealth.
I've spent a lot of time in D.C. It was bad before COVID, but it's like a wasteland.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. And look, a lot of these things, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of factors into why Donald Trump was able to win this landslide election. But I will say that one of the major factors here was the COVID regime and the fact that the media, you know, like we may have said that the corporate media had been discredited many years ago, but it's a whole different
level. It's over
right
now. Dave Smith, man, you're awesome. I mean, I watch it. It's like, you got to get, let's come back and get into the election, what you think Trump should do, how the left, not even the left, the fake left, the corporate bots are going to respond, what we can do, and just what a historic time. You cannot gauge how big this victory is. A total repudiation of the entire disinformation complex. It's happening, like Ron Paul said. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So I'm just asking you to keep me in the fight. And we got great t-shirts and incredible blow you away supplements and everything at our great sponsor, DallasJonesStore.com. There's a VIP section on there that I noticed was getting really a lot of traction, and because I hadn't really, you know, since other folks own this, other folks that are great run this, the folks at Bigly, great Patriot backers, Total Patriots, J6ers, you name it, I didn't realize how good the VIP thing was. So when I saw this the other day, I said, I better talk about this. So if you're a member of the Alex Jones VIP Club at alexjonesstore.com/VIP, or there's just a big link at the top of the page, this is a critical time in our nation. We don't know what the future holds for the operation. The following information I'm about to relay to you is imperative so we can stay in touch, you can get great products, and keep me on the air one way or the other along with the crew. Monthly member credits. Every month, as a VIP member, you get $40 of free store credit. Did you hear what I just said? That's right. It's like money in your pocket for the best products on the planet. So you pay $30 to be a VIP, and then you get $40 free. That's $10 you make. All the Alex Jones products at the best prices. We're talking about 10 to even 40% off the already existing sales. So sometimes becomes lost leaders in the store 24/7, 365 days a year. This is an unbeatable pricing you'll never find anywhere else. Automatic double entries in any of the giveaways, like the awesome turbo diesel super truck, $138,000 value. The winner of the sweepstakes will be announced on the 30th this month. You want to win? I know you do. As a VIP, you'll get double entries in every single giveaway. No effort, just double your chances, just like that. Exclusive VIP-only giveaways. This is where it gets big, folks. VIP members get entered into their own exclusive giveaways every month. Nobody else is allowed in these. Early access to products, promos, and giveaways. VIP members get first access to new products, promotions, and giveaways before anyone else. You're in the know. Oh, and did I mention orders over $99? Free shipping. We're not letting shipping costs slow you down. It just goes on from there. So, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Orders at the top of thealexjonesstore.com, you see the VIP button. We're fighting the new world order. I don't have billionaire backers. I am not controlled by anybody but my own soul, my own brain. I'm trying to do the best job I can. Thealexjonesstore.com, it's up to you whether you want to back the number one broadcaster that the enemy hates the most. I mean, they literally hate my guts because they know I'm for real and I can't be bought and I can't be intimidated and I'm wild and I scare them. And I don't know why I'm such a lovable, friendly person, but Satanists and pedophiles do not like me. And that's good because I don't like them either. And look, we've already done irrevocable harm to them. We've already just devastated them. I mean, world government, the New World Orders, everywhere is being talked about. The whole world's turning against them. They're super dangerous because they're throwing the kitchen sink at us to try to keep control. And I just don't think at 50 years old, after 30 years, when I understand things better than I've ever understood, that I should let these criminals, these globalists, run me to ground. So, I don't give up. Vince Lombardi, winners never quit and quitters never win. I mean, I have moral fortitude and will and commitment. I just instinctively can't stand these people. I know they're super dangerous villains. I know they want to break all of our wills and make us super poor, to dictate total control over us with a social credit score, and that it's a super high-tech system of slavery. And you look at the globalists, they're the most slithering, disgusting snakes and scum. And are we going to sell out our species like this? I mean, it's just, this is a joke. This is ridiculous. We're changing the world. They want to censor everybody because the globalists are weak.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back. I've been watching Dave Smith's comedy and his show for years. Love him on Rogan. But, man, he is great in studio. He's with us for another hour. And then for the last hour and a half of my show, I'm going to cover news, developments, take your calls. Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m. Central today. So I totally agree with your foreign policy ideas. It's all dead on common sense, great historical understanding of the different pieces there. Looking at Trump and looking at the corporate media and just the cartoon level brainwashing, gaslighting, lies we saw, as you said, we've known the corporate media has lost its power and has been dead for a long time. But a lot of people like Trump still didn't understand that, no, Joe Rogan's a lot bigger than, you know, all these other big nightly news shows combined. This show is. Trump went on and did a 2.5 hour spaces with Musk. They should have done more of them, and had 1 billion people that clicked on it. I mean, that's 1 billion people. We covered it live, and we had like 50-something million on it, and millions on our site. So that's just 1 billion on their stream. So this is an awakening. The power structure knows that it's been bluffing for many years, And there's a real desire for freedom by people of every race, color, creed around the world, not just Americans. And I call it 1776 worldwide, not America conquering the world with military and things, but with our ideas, people adopting it. And really, humans, when the good people are engaged, as Thomas Jefferson said, can do incredible things. And so just because we've been living under so much corruption for so long, people get demoralized and can't believe it's real. No, good is stronger than evil, but it's got to take action.
Yeah, I mean, look, think about if you had been around in the 1760s and someone had suggested that I think we should break away from the most powerful military in the history of the world, the British Empire, and we could defeat them. That would have sounded like pie in the sky, ridiculous thinking. You know, if you had sat around, as my friend Gene Epstein, who's a brilliant economist, always makes this point. If you had sat around in 1850 and said, you know, I think in 20 years, slavery is going to be abolished across the West, people would have thought you were nuts.
Perfect.
There's no way. But that really did happen, man. So never forget that, like, God is good and America's amazing and incredible things can happen, you know? And one of the things that's really encouraging to me, and this was a detail that I think people are some people are missing because there's so much going on right now. But Donald Trump spoke at Madison Square Garden, and there was no protest. I think the Secret Service said there were like 100 people outside. If he had spoken 2016 at Madison Square Garden, there would have been massive protests outside. There would have been Proud Boys and Antifa fighting outside and all this. And it does seem to me that something has drastically changed here. And even what the media, you know, if you think about what they were able to pull off with the Russiagate nonsense, where they sat and framed the sitting president for treason for 3 years. Once that collapsed and they had nothing, and then COVID came and they got it all wrong, and lockdowns and the vaccine and everything was just based off lies. And now through this election cycle, it's just like it. Look, as you know, as well as anyone, they've always been lying, right? Like they lied us into Vietnam. They lied us into World War One. They lied us into Iraq, right? But the lies are getting more ridiculous and easier to see through. I mean, look, when
Trump's going to ban interracial marriage with Goldberg.
Come on, man. And look, it was a Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden, or they tried to play like my buddy Tony Hinchcliffe. They tried to pretend that he was just like a guy making a comment rather than obviously a comedian doing a Don Rickles bit where he
a
was
famous
ribbing
roaster.
Everybody. Yes, where he was ribbing everybody. He made fun of Jews and Muslims and Puerto Ricans. And you know, then look, after the Joe Biden is sharp as a tack, and then they tried to pretend that Kamala Harris was joy and hope and change, and she was going to be the next Obama phenomenon. They've just gone to the well too many times, to the point that, look, it's the results speak for themselves. They told you that Donald Trump was Adolf Hitler, and then he won a landslide victory, which, by the way, I will say, I did think Donald Trump was going to win. I was shocked that he won by as much as he did. In today's political environment, I didn't think it was possible to have a landslide victory like this. And so it really is like a repudiation of the corporate media, what they used to call the mainstream media, but we really can't call it that anymore.
I call it the dinosaur media.
Yeah, that's right. Because look, that's your show and Joe Rogan's show and all these. I mean, Donald Trump did Andrew Schultz podcast, and he did Theo Vaughn's podcast, and he did Lex Friedman, and he did a whole bunch of these numbers dwarf anything that the corporate media is putting out. Even Fox News, who's the biggest in the cable news space, they don't put up numbers anything like what these other guys.
Tucker Carlson. Crazy. I was watching Fox's streams, and they had like 30,000 people on it.
Yep.
And we had all these different streams with, you know, 6, 7, 8 million people watching all the time during the election. It's a joke. Yep. I mean, folks, go to Real Alex Jones right now. Count up just the last 2 days of stuff. When I said, I just threw out because I quit counting, 304 million. No, it's probably 700 million. I can't even. I mean, I saw like 6, 7, 8 videos over 50 million, dozens with 20, 30 million, and just everything else with 10, 5, 12 million. I mean, and we see the numbers here. Our servers are melting. And again, everybody's getting huge numbers. Everybody who, and look, all the hottest talk show hosts, Elon Musk, everything's, you know, anti-establishment.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, by the way, you know, I'm like a hardcore Ron Paul libertarian. So like I love like Ludwig von Mises and Murray Rothbard and all the great libertarian economists. And man, watching Elon Musk on Joe Rogan's podcast explain property and production and the way an economy works, it was like, to me, this was like just perfection. And to think of how many people are seeing that now, and how many people's, you know, when I used to watch you and Ron Paul back in like 2008, I mean, we never could have imagined that we'd be in the position that we're in right now. You know what I mean? That like the tools that we have that could, back then, if you were blacked out of the corporate media, that was it. There was no other way to get your word out. I mean, you could have a little newsletter or something like that, but now that's the whole game. And the fact that it actually decided a presidential election, like the narrative writes itself, he went on Joe Rogan, she refused, and she got blown out. That is beautiful, and the possibilities are really endless.
And then as people like Trump, who is a maverick, is anti-establishment, who's pro-prosperity, anti-war, still he admits, and I was told this before it came out, Barron had to explain to him, his young son, and it's the same thing, but all the Mitch McConnells are going away, it's all going away, and the old guard's realizing it doesn't matter if CNN attacks you, you don't have to respond, they have almost no viewers, it's a joke. The last power the corporate dinosaur media had was older people in government corporations believing they had power and being bullied by them and letting them set the agenda by putting out lies that people responded to. At a certain point now, I get attacked every day, I don't even respond to it, because it's just changing the subject from us setting the agenda.
Oh, that's right. I mean, because they're just, again, they just lie too much. And now nobody's trusting them anymore. And so, you know, that is the dynamic. And in fact, you could even go a step further and go, that's the sign that you're being successful and you're being effective. If you're being effective, then you're going to be attacked by CNN. If you're not being attacked by CNN, that's kind of suspicious in a way. Like, what's going on with you that they're not trying to smear you? And that's right. And look, to Donald Trump, and hopefully he's at this point where you go, look, man, every time you try to play nice with them, they're still going to throw you under the bus and attack you. They're still going to smear you in the most vicious ways. Look, they've tried to impeach the guy. They've tried to imprison the guy. They've tried to assassinate the guy. So at this point, why not just go for it? Why not just say, like, hey, we're really going to roll this thing back. We're really going to drain the swamp. But the answer here, right, is that, and I know you know this, there is no reform. We need institutions abolished. If we really want to do this, the CIA and the NSA and the FBI all have to go. And I know that's scary to a lot of Americans, but believe me, this is actually what's occupying our government right now. And all those people in the corporate media, you know, they're totally beholden to the intelligence agencies. I mean, half of them probably are the intelligence agencies.
Oh, they are. And it comes out the intel agencies give them disinfo, give them lies as they're spying on the American people. This is a joke.
Yeah, that's right. And so, look, it's the machine, the propaganda machine has been fractured, again, like I said, in a way that would have been a pipe dream just 15, 20 years ago.
So the spell is dropping. The illusion is crushed. They now admit it. They look like deflated, reanimated corpses, all these corporate media people. What do you think they're going to do? Because the awakening's so explosive now, we're like in the first few seconds of a detonation where it's, you know, exploded out to 20 feet, but it's going to explode out a million miles. This is so exponential. We have to create some amnesty program, like I said 6 months ago to Zuckerberg, roll over, don't meddle in this election. At least he publicly said he wouldn't. He still kind of sneakily behind the scenes did it. But how do we offer them abstention? How do we offer them a way to capitulate?
Yeah.
So that they, out of desperation, don't trigger a new war or something to try to stay in power, which they're saying they're thinking about doing. Because I'd like to have some detente to the establishment, abolish the agencies, do all that, put some of the kingpins in prison. That's right. Justice. But at the same time, studying history and warfare, the problem is they're so corrupt, even if Trump offered them detente, I don't know if this corrupt Western establishment will do it. So how do you see that unfolding?
Yeah, man, I mean, that really is kind of the most important question. And I'm not going to pretend I have the perfect answer for it. I mean, I know you can look at, so I know when the Soviet Union collapsed and there was German reunification, you know, a lot of those people who were like commies in East Germany, like, but rank and file, they paid them off. They gave them their pensions. They were, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, listen, we're going to move past this. We're going to forgive and forget the fact that you were part of the communist system, because we can't prosecute everybody. I mean, and you know, there's, like, I agree with you. The top level people need to be prosecuted, you know, but there has to be a certain line where you draw it and you say, okay, Everybody below this, go on your way. We're making peace.
Just like at the end of our Civil War.
Yeah, that's right. Because what else are you going to do? And so that is a big thing that we got to figure out moving forward. And I will say that I've seen, you know, a lot of people. Okay, look, we all know, right, one of the best parts of Donald Trump winning the presidency, both in 2016 and again in 2024, is watching like CNN and The View and the people like melt down and lose their minds. It's very satisfying. It's very funny. But I do also see a lot of people like posting videos of just like some crazy left-wing person like crying. And you're like, listen, I understand what they've done to you. I understand how evil and how much they smeared you. This is your fellow American who has clear mental health issues. I think that like right now, there's an opportunity for Trump supporters to be the bigger person. Again, not with the people in the corporate media, not with the people at the highest level of government. Those are criminals. Not with Fauci.
Bill Gates.
He belongs in prison. I'm talking about your crazy left-wing neighbor. We don't want to be at war with ourselves, and they want us to be at war with each other. Why do you think it is that the corporate media has been fanatically pushing for the last decade every single divisive issue that will pit Americans against
each
other?
By the way, since you say this, Dave, I was already thinking about playing it. Guys, get the ultimate compilation of the leftists flipping out. It's only 2 minutes long from yesterday. I want to play that moment. But I said the same thing yesterday because I've studied history, how this works. We're not trying to develop and have an open debate about some type of amnesty for lower level people because we don't want to stop the corruption. It's the opposite. Historically, smart folks, when there's a turnover, know how to get the bad guys to shut down the criminal networks. And it's justice. You got to do it. But you've got to have some program to try to reach out to the people and wake them up, or that leaves something that can grow back later that you're going to have to deal with. The real way to win when you've defeated people is to get them to realize they're defeated, to get them to realize they were the bad guys, to get them to realize they were in the wrong, and then to have some program to bring them back into reality.
Yeah, that's right. And look, to your point, in some ways, there's a tremendous opportunity right now. But in some ways, this is also the most dangerous moment. You know, it's like if you're when there's like an abusive husband, when the wife tries to leave, that's the most dangerous moment right there. Now, the correct answer is for the wife to leave, but that's a very, very dangerous time. So, yeah, I remember one time, I think it was in an interview with you. I can't, but it was when Ron Paul was running for president and someone said, I think it was you, but I could be wrong about this, but like you were asking him like, okay, when you get in there, what are you going to say to the CIA, to the this, because of this, are you going to tell them we're shutting this down? And he was like, I'll probably try to be nice about it, you know, because he's just a little bit like, well, look, you got to be careful in this situation. You want to be smart.
You want to give them a way out. If they feel cornered, then it's going to get violent.
That's right. So you do want the woman who's being viciously, physically abused to leave her abusive boyfriend.
She should do it when he's at work.
Exactly. Exactly. Well said.
Well, that's why Trump's got to come in, like you said, and basically fire 20 deep immediately to decapitate, then go in and look, and then do an assessment.
And this is why it's so important that he won a landslide. Like, if he had just eked out a victory, that probably wouldn't have been enough. Because what you need is to kind of, like, take out the top people and then let everybody at the middle and bottom know it's over. You've already lost. The entire country is behind this guy doing what he's doing right now. And then, look, this is what happened with the Soviet Union. There were people at the highest level of the Soviet Union, when the nation started to split apart and the things started to dissolve, who wanted to violently put down these movements and centralize the Soviet Union. And eventually, there were just so many people who didn't want to do it that they were like, we can't win this fight, and they let them go peacefully. That's what we need.
Dave, this is so good. I was meaning to do this today intensely. I did it some yesterday, but you were just nailing it better than I could, because people that haven't read hundreds of history books or studied things, like which I've done, you've obviously done that, this is how it works. So the bad guys have got to be like Brennan, Clapper, that have been running this behind the scenes with Obama. They got to get in some trouble. But we've got to have some type of program to reach out to people, or this fight's going to go on forever. And Lincoln knew that and was going to fix things. But a bunch of folks in his cabinet wanted the war to continue, wanted to loot the South. So they kind of stepped aside, let him get killed. This has come out in the history books. And then it created 100 years of problems in the South. It's going to be much worse this time. We've got to Trump's starting to do this. We've got to develop some plan to remove the bad guys, but then have some type of cultural amnesty.
That's right. And look, I mean, you know, when you see the corporate media for the last, you know, 6 months or so, and they're all freaking out about how Donald Trump's going to prosecute his political enemies. And the first thing all of us think, obviously, is how hypocritical and ridiculous, because that's exactly what they're doing to Donald Trump. But there's also something when you listen to these guys, they give the game away in a little bit because they actually are concerned that Donald Trump might come in and try to prosecute some of these criminals.
And if they completely give up, it will go a lot easier on them. I mean, that's how this works. If you just give up, we've got to put your kingpins in jail. It's the right thing to do. We got to find the missing kids. But we understand. We just want to win and get this over with. We just want prosperity and security. So I'm just telling you, seriously, roll over, signal, and then we'll move past you. But there's going to be people that don't give up, and it's not going to go well. We're fully committed. As I told you, we're not going to stop.
Yeah, well, you know, you think about it like, look, if one little guy, say you're walking down the street with your wife, and one little guy comes up to you and goes, give me your wallet. You're like, I'm going to knock this guy out. But if five guys come up to you with guns by their side and they go, give me your wallet, you're probably going to go like, all right. Now, if you in your mind think that these five guys with guns are going to like assault your wife, you'll probably go out fighting and die. But if you know that you can just give them your wallet and then you and your wife can move along safely, you're just going to give them your wallet because that's the... So you have to kind of in some way, and I'm not...
No, we got to say, hey, we won fair and square. Yeah. You know you're going to lose. Give us the keys and you can move on.
That's right. You have to somehow create that.
Well, that's what George Washington did after the war here. He did the same thing.
Right. And so this is the moment, you know, this is the, 2024. This is, you know, our 1776 moment. This could be, at least it has the potential to be, a great moment in the history of the United States of America, where we reclaim the republic and we return to prosperity and morality and all of these things. But it's got to be handled well.
Now, and I want to say this to the establishment. People that have been serving evil just because they followed orders, want their pension or whatever. Look at the establishment now. World War III, open borders, human trafficking, total brainwashing. They're out of control. They're the danger to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you ought to be glad we're here taking the keys away from the drunk. I mean...
100%. And I think a lot of people are waking up to the idea that it's actually... You know, at a certain point, it becomes... Like, it's risky to fight the establishment. You know personally better than most people. But at a certain point, it's also risky not to. And we're way past that point. We will never, you know, if we don't control our borders right now, if we don't rein in the war machine, if we don't rein in government spending and debt, this nation is going to collapse.
Very soon.
Yeah.
I mean, they're adding trillions a week now, and it was trillions a year before. So it's existential, and people can feel it. They can see it. If they're informed, they know it intellectually. We're not here saying like some weird calculation. We're not sure what's right. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. This is like guaranteed.
And this is a crazy thing about today's day and age. At the same time, while there are all of these very real dangers, we have these wonders. Like, I mean, the fact, you know, my son was needed open heart surgery when he was first born. If I had had him 30 years ago, I just lost my child. But now the amazing things these doctors can do, they just repair his heart. He's fine. He's living a totally great life. We have these wonders all around us. And we can't, you know what I mean? Like we can live.
We've
got to
believe
world.
There's good because there is. And we got to celebrate it and defend it.
That's right. And so the threats are very real, but we also live in a great time to be alive. And the truth is that the struggles that we go through right now are... Men have been through much worse in the history of mankind.
I was about to say, I've been through a lot, Trump's with a lot of others, but compared to future past struggles for freedom, this is a cakewalk.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, like I mentioned Ludwig von Mises before, who's in my opinion, the greatest economist who's ever lived. He was a refugee from World War II, and he had his library burned, and he had to flee to escape, and then he came to a country where he didn't speak the language, and then he learned the language, and then he published books in this language. And there's just so many people like this who went through, like, enormous things and kept fighting for liberty. And so then you kind of look around at yourself and you go like, okay, well, if those guys could go through that and keep fighting for a free society, then we got to do the same.
We're going to go to break in a few minutes. You got to come back more often. This is great. I'm so glad you're here. I'd asked producers before, but we finally got you this time. I want to come back out of the break It's a short little segment coming up, and we have some longer segments. I want to come back and play that 2.5 minute compilation of the freakouts. And when I put this out yesterday, I said, "Is it right to laugh?" And I went on in another video and on the show to say, "Look, I get it, and we deserve some entertainment, okay?"
Yeah.
But when you think about the serious mental illness that these people have been induced into, these are victims, and really, it's not right to make fun of a mentally ill person, though I do it myself. I'm not a hypocrite. I like it, but it's sick. If we don't reach some point, in fact, let's go ahead and play it now. We'll go to break, come back and get your take on this. But here it is. Then we'll start the third hour. Dave Smith's here, comicdavesmith.com, on X at Comic Dave Smith. I watch his podcast all the time, especially on road trips, and it's just awesome to have him here with us. Hour number three coming up. He'll be gone in about 35 minutes, and then we'll take your calls. Got a bunch of other news and analysis and what Trump needs to do to stop the globalist. And we've got the blueprint. We know how to do it. Follow me on X, Real Alex Jones. And all the Trump gear is in the AlexJonesStore.com. We need your support to launch a whole new network. If we're shut down next week, stay with us.
How did we get here? How did we get here? What in the Alice in Wonderland nightmares is going on right now?
All I can say is how dare you.
If you voted for that man, if you voted for anybody other than Kamala, and you live in one of the states that it was, you know, close, or if you didn't vote, fuck you.
Senate race. It's not gonna happen. Republican
Kevin Kamala will be returning to the Senate.
I chose family. I chose women. I chose America. I love you.
How the fuck is this still happening? All I've ever known politically is hatred.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done with you and your mother and your sister. I'm just done with all of this.
I'm sorry to all my friends who are Trump supporters. You don't understand how scared of this man I am.
If this guy does end up winning again, all of the people who voted for him will be, like, happy, and they'll just be celebrating. And everyone else, everyone who feels threatened by him for our lives, we're scared for our friends. How dare you put this man into office for another 4 years, knowing damn well what it means for our country, what it means for us as a people. To know that there is that much ignorance and that much hate in this country, it's so terrifying. It's so terrifying. How the fuck are we back in this same situation again? Who the fuck is voting for him? Genuinely.
It's under his policies. Live with that decision. Sit with it. Let it make you uncomfortable. Fuck you.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold. Because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce, right? So this is why
they've
central
got so
banks
many quadrillions of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy, the industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.